Return this lad.
What?
Return this lad, or suffer my curse.
What's your offer?
This night, you will be visited by three plagues, each worse than the last. Return the slab.
Ha! Nice try, Professor.
Welcome to Checkered Childhood, a classic Cartoon Network podcast covering many, many years of Cartoon Network's history.
I'm Funky. I'm Fresh.
Hi, Powerpuff Girls.
Hi. Not now, boy. I'm busy. Tonight's the third night.
Greetings, Toonheads. It's your animated host with the most, B-Dubs, and this is Checkered Childhood, a classic Cartoon Network podcast dedicated to all things animation from the 1990s and early 2000s. Today, we're packing our bags and heading to Nowhere, Kansas, so we can pay a visit to Eustace, Muriel, and Courage. Once we arrive, we'll pick out my top 10 Courage the Cowardly Dog episodes, among a total of 104 shorts across the series, the pilot, the 2016 short film, and the Scooby-Doo / Courage crossover. This list is quite varied, but the criteria for being an entry on it depends largely on memorability, secondary characters, story, and something special that makes our favorite family of the three shine. It's a ranking not solely focused on scariness, but on heart too. You're free to either disagree or agree with me on the picks, but as an avid fan of the show myself, this is the best I can do to whittle down the episodes from four seasons of content. If I could, I'd honestly choose them all because the show is just that good. But we only have enough time to cover the best and brightest entries. All right, valor up with your nerves of steel and let's tackle this terrifying top 10 together. Say that 10 times fast.
The things I do for love.
Starting off, we have number 10 with Robot Randy. This is season 2, episode 1B. And the premise involves a robot from another planet reluctantly visiting Nowhere and enslaving Eustace and Muriel to prove he's not a failure to the rest of his kind. With a little help from Courage, he fights against his conforming kind to follow his true passion, which is whittling little deers out of wood. It's pretty relatable for outsiders who don't naturally fit into society. I mean, the voice actor mimics Christopher Walken's speaking cadence quite well, too. And his desire to not want to destroy things is very humbling and heart-opening if you pay attention. Plus, it's got a hilarious ending to an otherwise emotionally dramatic plot. You'll just have to see it to know why, because I don't want to spoil it. There is very little Eustace on Courage harassment, thankfully, because I know we tend to get that a lot with Eustace's mask scaring and all that. But it's a fun trip, and I like the breakdancing scene a lot, too. Who doesn't love a good breakdance battle? All right, moving on to number 9 of the top 10 Courage episodes list. We have The Quilt Club. This is from season 3, episode 12A. And the premise involves a pair of sisters who happen to share a body, who order Muriel to carry out some ridiculous demands so she can demonstrate her worthiness in getting into the exclusive quilt club. But once she finally does, the rewards prove to have dark consequences. This episode is notable because it could be interpreted as commentary on the animation industry by and large. I mean, it's highly competitive and people trying to get in usually have to bend over backwards to be appreciated into a high-profile party that may not actually have your best interest at heart. I just love how unapologetically fierce Courage is at saving Muriel by leaping out of the memory quilt box and immediately stitching Eliza and Eliza up. Courage even goes as far as sewing his own pelt onto the blanket to free her from the evil quilt's control. Just goes to show you how the pitfalls of conformity can affect people across all ages and eras, as evidenced by all the members being freed at the end. I also love how Eustace blows his nose into the Stitch Sisters' patch at the end in an act of karmic retribution. It's gross, it's funny, and it's satisfying. Plenty of gloominess to grow around here with this episode. Alright, moving on with number 8, we have Courage in the Big Stinkin' City, Season 2, Episode 2B. And the premise involves Muriel being invited to play music at the Radio City Music Hall in Rockefeller Center in New York City. Her sitar, of course. She and her family shack up in a dingy apartment with an oversized cockroach while she practices before the show, and it's up to Courage to deliver an evil package, quote-unquote, for Schwick before he feeds his family to an unseen threatening creature behind a tiny mouse hole-sized door. Yeah, that's a mouthful. But it's a great mix of fun and dark moments, to be honest. I mean, Schwick's a bit unnerving. He's a giant cockroach, and his color scheme is a little bit dingy and gross and unsavory. So you don't like to look at him whenever he's on screen. I do like how Courage adapts to all the craziness that happens in New York City, from trying to meander through the subway and, you know, delivering the package and going through all the different buildings. And then, of course, you know, that one moment that everyone remembers where he's opening the different doors of the apartment and he ends up seeing a particular girl that you never want to see again. Here's a clip just to remind you.
I just know something bad is going to happen.
And so somehow he recovers, gets Muriel on to the stage on time, and her performance is a hit. I would say Schwick isn't particularly terrifying, though, aside from your initial impression of his appearance, but he does excel in a shifty demeanor, keeping the viewer on edge the entire time. I'd say after watching this episode, you two will agree that you don't want to know what's behind that door. All you know is that it attacks people, it attacks things, and cleans their bones pretty thoroughly. So yeah, avoid that. All right, next up, we have number 7 with Windmill Vandals from season 4, episode 3B. The premise involves 4 spirits of the Bag Family Windmill returning to carry out their vengeance that began with the original owner of the windmill. And now, with them around, Courage has to scramble to rebuild the ancient structure with Eustace and Muriel before the malevolent horsemen sever their family from their lives. This one was super creepy when I grew up, with the same music from Demon in the Mattress and just the detail of the skeletal characters who really don't have much emotion other than kill. Like, they're all set to kill, and that's about it. This one stuck with me for the exceedingly dreadful atmosphere as well, and the background story about how the farm came to be 250 years ago, and how these vandals originally attacked farmer, I think his name is Giles Gillette, for his forward thinking of developing a windmill when all the other water wheel mills dried up in the area at the time. The lore goes on to say that the contraption would protect the farm from its magical runes carved into it, as long as the blades didn't stop rotating. And that's why you usually see the windmill rotating constantly in the Courage the Cowardly Dog universe. So it's fun that they went a little bit deeper with that tiny detail that no one would really notice otherwise. Dang. Yeah. Anything that reveals a little more lore related to its own show is definitely worth a second look based on this case. And what I love most about it isn't the fact that the 4 horsemen of the apocalypse show up, although they do look pretty metal, I must say. But in a rare dynamic of the series, all 3 members of the Bag family actually work together collaboratively to stop the impending sense of doom that the spirits bring with them. I mean, every time that they show up in their little like dark cloud in the ominous blood red sky and then disappear and then come up a little bit closer and then disappear, it's very, very reminiscent of this episode called The Tale of Dead Men's Float from Are You Afraid of the Dark? You know, a show on Nickelodeon, which will occasionally be mentioned here because I also have expertise in that. But I love how it just teases the audience like, oh, I'm going to get you this time. Nope, I'm going to get you this time. Nope, oh, this is definitely the time. And then they end up severing their heads, which was pretty dang scary at the time for a young kid of, I don't know how old I was in 2000. But point being, it is quite memorable for the visuals, and I highly recommend this one if you really want to set the mood for horror with some friends. I would say it ranks up there too with The House of Discontent from season 2, because that one also felt very dread-inducing and had some lore building based on the Bag Family Farm Estate too. All right, next up we have number 6 with Cajun Granny Stew. This one's from season 1, episode 1B. And the premise is pretty light, but still fun. While Muriel is feeding the birds at a park one day, a crafty fox with an appetite for an unusual dish attempts to pilfer Courage's beloved owner, only to have the comical plan backfire. This one is so much fun. I mean, it's got Wile E. Coyote and Roadrunner humor all over it. The timing, the gags, even the setting, which is just like some generic outdoor setting with cliffs. It all translates so well to a harebrained cartoon villain plot that, let's be honest, parodies itself. Kudos to the writers for emulating the classic Looney Tunes formula exceedingly well in this case, and I wish it appeared more often throughout the series of Courage. I'd say my personal favorite gag in this episode is when the fox thinks he has the upper hand by steamrolling over a roadblock with Courage behind it, only to actually fall off a cliff because the road ends. Who would have expected that? Comic gold, I tell ya.
That dog, he's becoming a real pain in my...
It also might make you hungry if all the mentions of stew throughout the episode, so I don't recommend revisiting this one on an empty stomach, or you too might crave grainy stew. All right, it looks like we're already at the halfway point, and with our number 5 of the top 10 Courage the Cowardly Dog episodes, we have King Ramsay's Curse. This one's from Season 1, Episode 7A. And the premise involves basically when an ancient Egyptian slab winds up on the Bag family's property. After some thieves mysteriously disappear from stealing it, an ancient Egyptian spirit warns them of 3 plagues that they will have to endure under his curse if the tablet is not returned to its original resting place. As much as I love Katz as a recurring villain, this one-off villain is both delightful and horrifying to watch. Certainly was for me when I grew up. Because back in the 90s, when I just have a 12-inch tube TV in the bedroom, seeing this thing moving with all of its jarring 3D art style limbs in a 2D mixed media animated background creates a very strange yet terrifying contrast of art styles. And the aura was just ramped up to 1,000 with like the creepiness factor. I couldn't even look at it when I first watched it. I had to look away and I had to like test myself to see if I was courageous enough to watch this villain on screen whenever I rewatched recordings of it on my VCR. So I think most of you know this one pretty well. It's a staple of the series. And I got to give it to Ramses for having a imposing menace of 3 plagues that can wipe anything out in its path. As long as you can endure them, then you'll be okay. But it's not for the faint of heart, as we've seen the cats who stole the slab itself were devoured by the locusts. Pretty dark when you think about it. I do say, though, with all things of this episode considered, it's got a lot of quotable lines, but I think the catchiest, most annoying song ever to appear in any TV animated segment appears in this particular episode. So it gets the award for that with the King Ramsay, the man in Gus song. I'm not going to sing the whole thing. I'll save your ears. But if you want to look for it on YouTube, you can easily find it, especially the extended versions, which are pretty fun. All right, getting down to the final 4 now with number 4, The Mask. This one's from Season 4, Episode 7, both parts A and B. And the premise is pretty dark. It involves a masked female stranger who takes out her violent prejudice against dogs out on Courage repeatedly. That is, until the purple pup finds a clue leading him to the source of her angst and misery, a place beyond the wrong side of the tracks, where her friend Bunny lies. And also a series of mad pit bulls, too. Ooh, just thinking about it gives me a pit in my stomach. I mean, before Steven Universe came along, this is the first notable example of a lesbian love story. In this case, between two animals caught between an abusively toxic boyfriend resembling a Doberman Pinscher and his bodyguards. When reviewing the story of the episode, it's plain to see why the macho mutt and the delicate rabbit were never meant to be together in this 2-part episode. But the way Courage progresses from imagined fear of who the masked character would, what they would do to him, to assume motives, and even to the humanizing understanding of her as Kitty took off her mask and became reunited with Bunny. Seeing all this unfold and progress is nothing short of an emotional masterpiece. Regardless of your orientation or preferences, I believe you too will be rooting for Bunny and Kitty by the end. It's essential viewing for the series, as this is one of the few where John Dilworth goes deep with the details and the heart in this episode. I highly recommend it. Just be warned, like King Ramsay, this one has a few like unnerving jump scare moments, like when the masked character first shows up, or just something about weird villain characters that don't belong in the flat plains of nowhere seem to really have that jarring, disharmonious feeling to them. And I think John Dilworth understands that very well, which is why he's able to create memorable villains, or at least secondary characters like this in this case. All right. Our top three of the top 10 list, with number three, The Tower of Dr. Jalost. This one is from season 2, episode 13, and the premise involves a pretty somber one. When an unhappy, misunderstood, not mad scientist fails to get out of a depressive slump, he takes out his frustration on the city of nowhere using special cannonballs that will turn anyone caught in their path into a shell of their former self. Once his mobile fortress of sadditude, see what he did there, approaches the Bag family farmhouse, he makes it his mission to inflict them as well in this riveting two-part episode. It's funny how both The Mask and this one, which are the only two-part episodes of the series, actually made it this high up on the list. But I feel that gives it plenty of time for the story to go deep into these emotions that aren't really explored enough in children's animation history. And I applaud John Dilworth and his writing team for being able to accomplish that in such a mature way that it not only resonates with us, but also sticks with us throughout the years. I wouldn't be talking about it now if it didn't make an impression on me, so it clearly was a standout episode of my childhood. I mean, yeah. It's not easy to talk about chronic depression, especially in a children's cartoon, and even back in 2000s, it was more of a taboo subject back then. But the way they do it, it really hits home. And I'd say this use of the 3D animation, in this case, the tower moving with its spidery metallic legs to accentuate and animate Zalost's mobile castle, is quite effective in creating an impending sense of both doom and dread. And while Eustace being unaffected by the blast is a clever tongue-in-cheek gag, Muriel's inadvertent efforts to dispel the affliction with her happy plums is just what the doctor ordered. And now I think about it every time I have plums for a snack, go figure. Though I do wish there was more of an epic battle between the climax between Dr. Jalost and Courage, resulting in the resolution for this story. I feel like their seesaw of conflict suits the topic well, complete with melancholic, apocalyptic choir tones ever present throughout the episode. I'd say if any of you listeners out there have ever felt the burden of depression, you know the emotions Dr. Jalost is going through, and they are quite genuine with how he expresses them, especially with the heartbreaking, reluctant hug from his only friend and pet rat, Rat. I'd say overall, Jody Gray's symphony of tomb-filled yet angelic choir singers, paired with the synths and weaving oboe melodies, is done masterfully and complements the action as the tale unfolds. Another home run from the pen of John Dilworth. All right, just two more left. And our number two of the top 10 Courage the Cowardly Dog episodes on this list is The Last of the Star Makers. This one is from season 4, episode 10A, and the premise involves a couple of space squids. So, determined to pass on her legacy after the sudden death of her spouse, a rare space squid finds its way to nowhere, Kansas, on Earth, to seek help from Courage and Muriel, hopefully to help her, I guess, embryonic babies be born. Unfortunately, Eustace gets the government involved to experiment on her in exchange for her big sack of cash. But once the captive mutter squid gives birth, I think we are all reminded of the beauty and fragility of the circle of life. And so they are born and more star makers are released into the sky. And we all share a heartfelt moment together. And this kind of blends in into why this episode is so notable and memorable for me. I'd say it's one of the saddest episodes, if not the saddest episode of the entire series. It's got a strange yet heartwarming feel to it that's sprinkled with some government action a la E.T. the Extraterrestrial. And not really much sensical humor, aside from like the little puppet squid bashing the soldier with its rattle. I got a kick out of that. Most of the focus, thankfully, involves Muriel and Courage taking care of a dying mother who was widowed by a giant space whale, of all things. It had a force of like a black hole. It made me cry. I'm not going to lie. It made me cry to watch that for the first time. I mean, just thinking back to the memories of this now and the death of the mama squid and how her body turns into a field of flowers with the film noir-esque trumpet melody playing in the background is enough to make anyone's eyes water with that perfect, delicate balance of bittersweet sadness in the scene. This is such a beautiful animated short. No matter if it was part of the Courage the Cowardly Dog or if it was in the Independent Animation Film Festival, it's a true testament to the late David Stephen Cohen's writing prowess, which I discussed in the previous episode of this podcast, episode 3. So if you want to know more about his writing legacy, be sure to check that episode out. All right, we're already approaching the number one spot of the top 10 Courage the Cowardly Dog episodes list. But before we do, let's do a quick recap of numbers 10 through 2. With number 10, we have Robot Randy. With number 9, we have The Quilt Club. With number 8, we have Courage in the Big Stinkin' City. Number 7, we have Windmill Vandals. Number 6, we have Cajun Granny Stew. With number 5, we have King Ramsay's Curse. Number 4, we have The Mask. Number 3 is The Tower of Dr. Jalost. Number 2 is The Last of the Star Makers. And the number 1 Courage the Cowardly Dog episode on this list is Remembrance of Courage Past, from Season 4, Episode 13A. Is it a shocker to you? I know it isn't for me. The premise of this one is pretty deep. It goes back to the origin stories of how Courage met Muriel and Eustace. Upon seeing a missing dog on a milk container one day, Courage is reminded of a traumatic event involving his parents being kidnapped for space veterinarian research. The triggered traumatic event leaves the purple pup unresponsive, causing Eustace and Muriel to unknowingly bring him to the same cruel vet to cure him. Now, in Courage's defining moment, he must save his owners from being shot on a rocket into space or risk losing them forever. This one is incredibly notable. I mean, if there's any episode that makes me not only cry but feel every emotion humans are capable of, it's gotta be this one. The final episode and penultimate segment of the series. It takes true courage to delve into such a deeply emotional subject of childhood trauma, but also understanding how it affects you and how we heal over time when injustices we had no control over plague us. This episode acts as a proper origin story of how Courage met Muriel, as I mentioned before, and it's every bit the tearjerker you'd expect, filled with anger, action, and surprise, even. I love how the memories of young Courage are portrayed with this innocent, crude animation style, like a kid drew it with crayon, because kids can animate at a young age. And it really does transport us as the viewer directly into his recollective experience. The evil, deranged vet is as detestable as you can imagine, especially if you're a dog lover in real life, and seeing his comeuppance at the end by the dogs in space is incredibly gratifying as retribution for his misdeeds. As an added bonus, we also get to see Courage's biological parents, who look exactly as I had imagined. Big old mustache and flower hat from the 1950s, as you'd expect. While it is an incredible episode, I don't recommend starting with it if you're new to the series. This one is rightfully best saved for last, and you will feel the deepest of emotions upon watching this one. But you have to build up to it first. Trust me. All right, that's our top 10 Courage the Cowardly Dog episodes. But before we go, I'm going to list a few honorable and dishonorable mentions that you may have considered for the list, but just didn't quite make the mark. Starting off, we have Raff of the Librarian for number one honorable mention, which is from Season 4, Episode 12B. Why did it not make the list? Well, it's a lesser-known episode with a fun concept where storybook characters project themselves onto Eustace and Muriel, while Courage finds a way to pay off an ever-increasing library fine that's larger than the U.S. debt ceiling. I'd say with the way it tells its story so visually and with the librarian controlling things behind the scenes, feeling very unnerving, especially with how Eustace acts as like that weird troll with the club as an arm and Muriel as that blue giddy fairy that's constantly twinkling her toes everywhere. It just makes you think, what is going on? And yet you still want to see how it ends up. So check that one out. It's another David Stephen Cohen classic. I would also like to mention the Chicken from Outer Space trilogy. Not just the pilot, but all three episodes that comprise that mini story arc, which they're obviously the pilot. It's episode 12A from season 1 with the return of the Chicken from Outer Space. and finishing off with Season 4, Episode 10's Son of the Chicken from Outer Space. Why do I recommend this trilogy? It's the backbone of the show, or the wishbone, if you will. And I'd say sci-fi lends itself to a lot of weird topics that can be twisted and bended to be accepted into our reality. And this story arc is, I'd say, as weird as it comes, but in a good way. What were the chickens' motives other than to conquer Earth? I'd say it's just strictly to get back at Courage, no matter if he comes back, if he's cooked, or if his triplet son does it. Because vengeance is a dish best served cold. I'd say my third honorable mention would be A Night at the Cat's Motel, which is the very first episode of the series, officially. Season 1, Episode 1A. I mean, I love this one a lot. I had to include it somehow on the list because it's very reminiscent of Alfred Hitchcock's, Psycho? Yeah, Psycho. Not just for like the hotel motel setting with like the creepy, eerie atmosphere in the middle of nowhere as Eustace and Muriel and Courage are driving home from some unnamed trip. But I really love how Katz is like this unnerving eatkeeper who serves as a natural foil to Courage throughout the series. Did I mention creepy spiders are involved? Because there's plenty of creepy spiders involved in places you don't even want to know. Like the toilet, the bathroom, I can't think about it. It's gross. Oh, they look so gross. Get it away from me. But it's an episode that sets the tone for the entire series expertly well. And it uses every trick in its horror toolbox to convey its point. I really love how this signature humor in Courage, where you think simple solutions would fix something, and yet they have to struggle so hard to get it done. For example, waking Eustace up with like a giant blaring horn, or Courage trying to free himself from being tied to a post of the motel using nitroglycerin. It's kind of like Looney Tunes antics, but it's its own special flavor. So I appreciate seeing that in this episode and pretty much being repeated in future episodes that are worth remembering. While there aren't too many episodes that I'd like to forget about Courage the Cowardly Dog, most of them I just don't remember vividly enough, or I don't have enough time to cover it in this episode alone. I do want to mention just a couple of them that really didn't sit well with me over the years and still kind of bug me. I don't know if these bug you too, but feel free to mention your own. So my dishonorable mentions, just going to be two of them. First one is Muriel Blows Up. This one was from Season 4, Episode 6A, and I didn't like it. It was boring. It felt uninspired, overly simplistic, and I didn't really feel anything towards it. I think this is the one with the carrot that's like grow, spread, enlarge, you know, attached to her gut or something. But that's all I remember, and I just, it felt weird to see Muriel portrayed in this way, so I don't recommend it. The second one would be Conway the Contaminationist from Season 3, Episode 5B. Why is it on my dishonorable mention list? Too gross. live long, live better, Conway says. Not in a trash heap. I don't agree with that. You can't pay me to. Just seeing all the trash, especially since I'm a neat freak, it was too painful to sit through alone, let alone rewatch it. And yeah, it's going to do things to your stomach you wish it hadn't done when you see all the filth and pretend like you can smell the garbage through the TV. So don't watch it. All right, guys, that concludes our top 10 list. But before we go, we're going to do a checkered mailbag segment because we have our first letter. Actually, it's a message, but same idea. So listener and longtime friend Matt Smith chimed in today with a few words to share. Let's see what he has to say, shall we? Matt writes, "Hey, B-dubs, I listened to the second episode this morning. Loved it. Keep it up." Wow, that was quick, Matt. But thank you for chiming in. That was wonderful to hear. And it fills me a joy to hear that you're enjoying the podcast so far. And we've just only begun too. I mean, as of this recording, we're only 4 episodes in, and who knows where we'll go next. Thank you again for taking the time to message me for that. You rock, Matt. All right, time to close up shop. Thank you, Tuneheads, for taking the time to join me today. It was a lot of fun to talk Courage the Cowardly Dog with you a little bit more in depth than last week, and I hope we do it again soon because it's one of my favorite shows among Cartoon Network history. But before we go, I'm curious, what are your personal top 10 Courage the Cowardly Dog episodes, and why do they stick in your memory so vividly? Did any of the ones I picked make your list? If you want to chime in and share your responses with me, please send me an email at checkerchildhood@gmail.com. It would also actually help me out if you rate and review this podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever else you like to listen to podcasts. I know I'm iHeartRadio 2, Amazon Music, Deezer, the whole gamut of basic podcast platforms. If you do end up messaging me or email me, though, I may share your review on a future mailbag segment, so that's an incentive to engage with me. Additionally, if you know at least one friend who appreciates classic Cartoon Network like we do, please share this podcast with them so they too can embrace the sweet, informative waves of CN nostalgia. Tune in next time when we go a little bit deeper into the What a Cartoon Show library and pluck out a random short for our first episode review. Which one could it be? I mean, there's 48 to choose from. Will it be a series staple, or will it be a diamond in the rough that no one knows about? You'll just have to join me next time in episode 5 to find out. To all my wonderful toon heads out there, thank you again. Thank you so much for being a part of this cartoon community as this little podcast of mine grows. I genuinely appreciate the time you take to interact with me and listen to these episodes. And I hope, like good friends, we'll do it again real soon. Just make sure we're safe from creepy things happening around us in nowhere first. I don't want to be disturbed by... not the spiders! I've been your host, B-Dubs, and this has been Checker Childhood. Have a tunerific day. Later, all you cowardly dogs.
Thank you, dog. Thank you for everything.